morning, church. Would you stand in the house this morning?
I've searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade, they're never enough. Then you came along, let's tell them. You put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Let's declare this morning, oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, and nothing is better than you. But I'm not afraid to show you. Still call me friend, 'cause the God of the mountain,
yes,
He's the God of the valley. There's not a place Your mercy and grace won't find.
Turn bones into armies. Jesus at the center. Jesus be the center. let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Jesus, the book of Ephesians says, fills the whole universe. And here we are this morning in his presence, and his presence fills this house today. And I hope the presence of Jesus is filling your heart today as well. We want Jesus to be at the center of everything because he's the answer for everything. He's our entrance into eternal life in the future, and he's our entrance into abundant life in the here and now. And he supplies everything we need. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our constant supply, our constant faithful Lord Jesus. We love you and we praise you today. We invite you to be the center of this worship service. You already are. We exalt you. We glorify you. We declare your name today. We say that Jesus is the answer for the world today. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our answer this morning. We pray across the room you would meet needs and lift heavy hearts. Strengthen us, O Lord. Focus our attention upon you. Your name is above every name, Lord Jesus. You are highly exalted. And we thank you so much for who you are to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We want to take a moment right now to invite the Saunders to come, Josh and Giselle, along with their precious little baby boy and their family today. And we're going to prepare to dedicate this precious baby boy to the Lord in prayer this morning. You may be seated today. Pastors, come and join us, if you would, please. Brenda, come and join us for prayer this morning, please. We have baby dedications regularly in our 11 o'clock service. I think that means we're an older crowd in this 8:30 service. But it's a great delight to have this celebration today in our early service this morning, and to thank God for the gift of life and for God's protection, his miracle working power. This is baby Elias, and Josh and Giselle, as you come today, I know you come with great thanksgiving in your hearts. He's already smiling at me, which means he's already a young man of exceptional wisdom and discernment. He loves his pastor already. Yes. And we know that you come today with hearts filled with thanksgiving for this precious gift that God has given you. And he had a tough entrance into the world, but he's healing and doing better. We pray that the Lord will just complete the good work he has begun already, and that the Lord will just put his blessing upon this little guy and help him to grow into the man of God that God has called him to be. We're missing great grandma today. Grandma Pauline. Yes, okay. Please give her our greeting as well. And this family's been a part of our church family for many, many years. And we are delighted to celebrate with you today. I love the name Elias. It's the New Testament Greek version of the name Elijah in the Old Testament. And the name Elijah, the name Elias means the Lord is God. The Lord is my God. And what a name to place upon a young man's life. And we know the Lord is going to be powerful in his life. We believe that today. And so, will he come to me? All right. Come on, buddy. Oh, hi. Hi there. Say, what's going on? What's going on? Okay, everybody wave up here at baby Elias. Look at that bunch up there. Look out there. He's so precious. Fearfully and wonderfully made, says the psalmist. And this baby is a gift from God, filled with the potential of God and covered by the blessing of God. Pastor Bob, I'm going to ask you to take the microphone and come and lead us in a prayer of dedication today as we celebrate together. And I'd ask the congregation just to join with us this morning. Come on, Brenda, come around here and stand by me and agree together right now with Giselle and with Josh. Pastor Bob, you come.
All right, let us pray this morning.
Lead us in prayer together.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this special occasion today.
Thank you, Lord.
When we can celebrate the wonderful gift of life that you've given to us today. And this precious little young boy, Elias, we see, Lord God, that he has truly been fearfully and wonderfully made, Lord, that he is special, that you have a very special and specific and divine purpose attached to his life. And so, Lord, we recognize that from a very early age, and that's why we have gathered here today, Lord God, to, so to speak, to give him back to you and to your plans,
yes,
and your purposes,
yes,
and your wisdom, Lord. We know that you have the greatest path planned for him, and we pray today that from the very beginning that Joshua and Giselle, Lord God, that your anointing,
yes,
of the Holy Spirit would rest upon their lives,
Father,
upon
you,
their minds, upon their home today, that each and every day that they wake up and they turn to you, Lord God, that they can find direction from the Holy Spirit on how to make decisions for precious little Elias and all the things that he's going to face in this world. So we pray today a special blessing of favor and presence upon his,
yes,
life,
Lord.
Lord God. We pray that you would allow him to walk in strength and in health, Lord God,
yes, Father,
and that he would be used, Lord God, to advance and to promote the kingdom of God and your goodness and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So again, Lord, we thank you today. And we just ask these blessings and your favor to rest upon this family. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,
yes,
amen.
Oh, he is such a good boy. Yes. Almost 5 months. Oh, he is. He's perfect. He's perfect. Okay, going back to mama. Congratulations. Let's congratulate them today, everybody. God bless you guys. This is Josh. Oh, Colette, Lisa. God bless you. Yes, thank you, Lord. We want to welcome you today if you're here for the first time visiting. We say a good first assembly welcome to you. And we invite you to drop by our welcome center out in the lobby after service, please. If you have a moment, we'd love to welcome you out there. We also want to remind you this morning and thank you for your faithfulness in giving to the work of the kingdom here at First Assembly. We are continually amazed at the faithfulness and the blessing of God. And we don't receive an actual offering in the service, but you may give online or at the drop boxes in the back of the sanctuary. And thank you so much for your faithfulness. I want to take a moment to invite everybody who can and who would like to join us this Wednesday night. This Wednesday night here in the sanctuary, we'll be starting a brand new series. I'll be teaching through the book of Ephesians, and our plan is to move through the prison epistles over the next few months in Wednesday night services. We'll be looking at Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. And so if you can, join us for a brand new start of a new sermon series, a new study series in the book of Ephesians this Wednesday night in the sanctuary. We have lots of other things taking place here on Wednesday nights as well. Pastor Bob, come up. Pastor Bob, come up here. Where's Pastor Ryan? Pastor Malachi, come up here and to give us a brief word about what's going on with you on Wednesday nights.
Yes, in the youth, we are just growing in our passion for the Lord. Since our students came back from camp, there's just this camp high, but we're just believing that it's going to continue to be a daily life experience with the Lord, and so we're seeing that be stirred and grown, and so it's just so awesome to see. We're having students, the last three Sundays, we've had students baptized, so students were filled with the Spirit. It's been awesome.
More this morning, yes. And Pastor Malachi has about 60 or 70 teenagers over there on Wednesday nights and a great youth service. Pastor Bob?
Yes. I am the young adults pastor here at First Assembly. For those that are wondering, the young adult age range, that's those that fall between the ages of 18
He's like
and
a
29.
Father to them.
Yeah, I'm like,
a father.
I'm one of the older young adult pastors. I'm 49 and I'm holding on. So anyway, but it's gone really good. We meet every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock upstairs in the upper room. And we normally have around 30 or so young adults each week. And we just started up this past Wednesday night a series through the life of Joseph. We're going to be talking about divine dreams and purposes that God has for our lives. And then each week after we have our time of study and fellowship, we stay and we have a time of, we call it our after service social. We bring in food and we just hang out and just enjoy each other's company. Would love for you to come and check us out.
Yes, awesome. We have excellent children's ministries as well. Next door, lots going on Wednesday nights. So come on and join us on Wednesday nights. Summer's a good time to start. Could everybody say amen?
Amen.
All right, let's stand again together this morning and get ready to sing. And then we're moving today into 1 Samuel chapter 7 for our scripture reading. But let's worship the Lord together, please.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin, I resign.
Oh, yes.
My gracious
Jesus this morning. Yes, yes, yes. You may be seated today as we look to the Word of God together. 1 Samuel chapter 7. As we come to our fourth lesson in this series, examining the battles in the Old Testament to learn principles for spiritual warfare. Anybody here ever been through a struggle in life? Anybody here? Has anybody here ever faced a spiritual struggle in life? Sure you have. If you haven't faced a spiritual struggle, then you might not actually be alive. The truth is we all face spiritual warfare, spiritual battles, spiritual struggles. And the Old Testament paints for us some powerful pictures in the historical battles that we see recorded there. And we've looked at several of those important battles already. Today is our fourth lesson. We'll be looking at two additional stories from the Old Testament in the coming weeks, Lord willing. But today we go to 1 Samuel chapter 7 and another familiar story in the pages of the Bible. The scripture says this in verse 2. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim at Abinadab's house. And all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them all the way to a point below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." That's going to be our title this morning, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." This morning we examine the Battle of Ebenezer. That's what I'm calling it today. That's the famous name that comes out of this story in the Old Testament, Ebenezer. Perhaps you've seen that name applied to a variety of little Baptist churches around over the years, Ebenezer Baptist Church. Or perhaps your familiarity with the name Ebenezer comes from a Christmas carol by Charles Dickens, Ebenezer Scrooge. This is Ebenezer, not Scrooge, today. As we think about this battle in the pages of the Old Testament, the Battle of Ebenezer is significant because it teaches us several important lessons about succeeding in the Lord and having the blessing and the favor of the Lord upon us, even in times of struggle and warfare. Let me pause this morning for a moment to talk again about the military battles in the Old Testament. We don't fight the same kind of battles as they did in the Old Testament. Perhaps nations still fight those kinds of battles. But as believers, we're engaged in spiritual warfare. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. In our spiritual warfare, we wrestle against spiritual realities in the heavenly realms, powerful satanic and demonic forces. Those forces come against us to try to destroy us spiritually. Now listen to me. The devil doesn't care if you live a long life in this world, as long as when this life is finished, you're not ready to meet God. The devil doesn't care if you live a long life in this world unless while you live, you don't accomplish anything that God wants you to accomplish. The devil is out to attack you spiritually. And any and every kind of attack that may come against you spiritually is rooted in the devil's desire to steal, kill, and destroy in your spiritual life. The devil comes at us to bring temptation towards sin and fleshly desires, to produce doubt and distraction and deception within our lives, to bring discouragement and depression and bitterness and unforgiveness and anger and fear and hopelessness and despair. The enemy does not want us to enjoy any spiritual victory whatsoever, because the devil knows if we have the joy of the Lord, it'll be a strength in our lives and we'll get out and do the work of the kingdom of God. The devil knows if we have peace in our lives, we might just be people of praise and worship to the Lord because of that great peace that we experience. And so the enemy comes to defeat us spiritually. He wants to destroy us and disable us and discourage us and drain us of all of our spiritual life. And sometimes the battles that we face in life are long and they are tedious and heavy. But like the battles in the Old Testament, our help and our hope are in the Lord. Now, the battle of Ebenezer this morning teaches us a few important lessons that we'll just mention up front today, and they are these. Number one, life is no good without the Lord. Now, maybe you haven't learned that, but someday you will learn that. Some people will learn that too late. I hope that we learn that early. Life is no good without the Lord. The second lesson learned from this story, we need the Lord's blessing and favor desperately. Because the enemies we face, we cannot face by ourselves. We need the Lord, and only the Lord can get us through. And the story of Ebenezer reminds us that our God is a loving and merciful God. So that even if we've gone astray and gone afoul of God's plan for our lives, if we'll call upon the Lord and return to the Lord will have mercy on us and receive us. And he will help us. One of the deceptions of the devil is that if you've sinned and gone wrong and fallen off the wagon and gotten away from the Lord, then the Lord doesn't want you back, and he won't, there's no more blessing left for you. But the mercy of God is new every morning. Hallelujah. And the Lord invites those who have strayed away from him to come home and to live in his blessing once again. And this story teaches us that God is the one who helps us in the past, in the present, and into the future if we will trust him. So this morning I want to look together on the outline at the Ebenezer story, the Ebenezer stone, and the Ebenezer statement. Let's examine it together, please, on the outline. First of all, what's this story about, the story of Ebenezer and this great battle that was fought? Well, this is the story of the people of God as they have fallen away from God and into idolatry. What is idolatry? It's the worship of idols, false gods. When someone falls into idolatry, they turn their attention and their devotion away from the living God and turn their affection and their attention and their worship toward other so-called gods, idols that people set up to worship. For the Israelites in the Old Testament, this was literal idolatry. They began to worship the idols of the peoples around about them and get their minds and their hearts off the Lord. As a result of their idolatry, when we come to this story today, the Israelites have been living in a season of spiritual drought. Really a season of spiritual death in many ways. They had not only turned away from God and began to serve the idols around them, but because of that, God himself had withdrawn much of his blessing from them. And as a result of that, some 20 years ago, or so when we come to this story, the Ark of God's Covenant, which was the centerpiece of the worship of Almighty God, had been stolen by the enemy army, and the people of God had lost the sign of God's presence and glory in their midst. In fact, on the day in which the Ark was stolen, a lady said this, "The glory has departed from Israel." God's presence, God's glory had departed as they had departed from serving God and walking with God. And that Ark of the Covenant had been gone, and it had returned, but it had stayed down at a place called Kiriath Jearim down there at Abinadab's house, and nothing had really been brought back into place properly for the worship of God. And when we come to the story today, the people of Israel have been in this season of mourning and sorrow and regret over their sinful living and over the lack of the blessing and favor of God in their lives. They had strayed, and now their hearts were drawing them back to the Lord. Look at me, everybody. For every Christian believer who strays away from God, I believe, the Lord God is working, moving, reaching, stretching to bring them back into relationship with Him. Do you know the Bible declares that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? That is, that everybody would turn away from their sinful lives and turn back to God. God is not, and God is reaching. God was reaching to the Israelites in this Old Testament story, and they began to feel that in their hearts, and they began to lament and long for the Lord. There's the first little point under this story. They lamented and longed for the Lord. Verse 2 says, "It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath Jearim, there at Abinadab's house, and the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel, the prophet, said to the whole house of Israel, if," everybody say if. Now Samuel had watched them stray. Samuel says, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the Israelites, look at it, put away their Baals and Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. Notice, they rejected their false gods and they returned to their faithful and forgiving God. So they said, "We've had enough of that wicked life, enough of that rebellion against God. We don't want to live outside of God's favor any longer. We want to get back to God." And as Samuel preached to them, they rejected their idols. They turned back to God, and they rallied for repentance and rededication at a great meeting. Notice, there was a revival meeting that took place. Verse 5, "Then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. So what did they do? They were turning back to the Lord with all their hearts, and they repented corporately together there. Together they came and held a meeting and said, "As a nation, we have sinned." We could take quite a rabbit trail at that point. How many of you understand? Our nation needs to return to God. The nation of Israel here, they returned to God. They prayed corporately. And they refocused and recommitted corporately. And they said, "We're turning our hearts back to God. We're done with our sins. We're done with our idols. That hasn't done us any good. Only the Lord can help us. Only the Lord is our source. We want the blessing of God. We want the favor of God. We want to live in the life of God. We want what God has for us." They were tired of the old stuff. And so they rallied for repentance and rededication. And as they were rallying, now this is just like a spiritual enemy. As they were gathered together for that big prayer meeting, the enemy launched out against them. And an army advanced against their assembly. Listen to verse 7. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Don't stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. Now, think about this with me for just a moment. I note in this story that the Israelites were just coming back to the Lord. Are you seeing that? They had been away for a while. They had been living in rebellion against the Lord for a while. They are just now coming back to devotion to the Lord, and they are just now holding a prayer meeting to make it public. We're coming back to the Lord, and the enemy immediately pounces. Now think about this with me, dear friends. The moment we commit our lives to serving God wholeheartedly, the enemy will be out to get us. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Yes. The enemy launches out against the Israel. They had just repented and just set their hearts to turn back to the Lord. And the enemy launches out against them. And I make another note about this. Notice that the Israelites, who had been away from the Lord for a long time and are now just now returning to the Lord. Notice, these Israelites have the gall to ask God for his help on day one. Have you ever seen that? As a pastor, I've seen it countless times. People have been living out in the world, living for the world, the flesh, and the devil. They come to church and they pray and they get their heart right with God. And day number one, they want God to help them get out of their troubles. Well, guess what? Our God is a loving and merciful God. Aren't you glad for that? How many of you here have ever received help from God when you did not deserve it? Say amen. And is there anybody here who has ever made a mess yourself, but the Lord helped you get out of the mess even though you made it yourself? Say a good amen. Aren't you glad that sometimes when we make our own bed, the Lord doesn't make us lie in it? Isn't that right? Now, that's not to say that we don't deal oftentimes with the consequences of our actions. In this world, that is often true. We often deal with the consequences of bad decisions. People deal with the consequences of sin. But I'm here to tell you that when we turn our hearts toward God, God can and will help us. He loves us, and he wants to bring us to the place that he wants us to be. So the Israelites are here. The enemy is attacking. They're just now having their rededication rally. And they cry out to God, "God, help us." Notice they received the report of the advancing army with trepidation. And they resolved to trust the Lord. And they said to Samuel, "Samuel, pray, 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 Samuel. And keep on praying." And Samuel did pray. And the scripture says the Lord answered him. And notice what happened as the army is advancing. They were dealt a divine deliverance. As they trusted the Lord moved in. Listen to verse 10. I love this part of the story. I know this is not what the story is famous for, but this is my favorite part of the story. Look at verse 10. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Bethkar. We don't know where Bethkar is anymore, but how many of you know the scripture seems to indicate it was a pretty good victory. And so the Lord thundered against their enemies. What I love about this is the creativity of God and the ability of our God to win any and every battle in whatever way he chooses. Are you here this morning? Our God is not limited to our thinking. If we had an army advancing against us, we might come up with 10 ways in which the Lord might intercede and probably, and the Lord might intervene, and probably none of us would pick the avenue of thunder. Although, how many of you know thunder can be pretty mighty? God is the creator of thunder and lightning. And as the enemy army is advancing, God begins to move by sending such a powerful thunder that the enemy is just overwhelmed by that thunder. Think about that. They're overwhelmed and they're thrown into a panic. Now, how many of you, if it began to thunder at 1,000 decibels, you might be thrown into panic as well? I know that's true because over the years we've had plenty of complaints against the volume of our sound here in the sanctuary. I know that many of you would be really stirred by loud thunder. And if thunder came from heaven, the panic that might set in might be overwhelming. And the Philistine army was overwhelmed by the thunder to such an extent that they were thrown into a great panic. And as they were thrown into that great panic, the Lord thwacked and thwarted their enemies. Boy, isn't that good? The Lord thundered, and then the Lord thwacked and thwarted them and sent the Israelites out, and the Israelites won a great victory that day. What were they doing? They marched out to defeat a foe that was had been thrown into such panic by the power and the voice and the thunder of the Lord that they just could not prevail. And God's people won the victory that day. Is there anybody here this morning, right now in your life, you're facing some real spiritual warfare? The enemy's come against you. Come on, lift your hand. Anybody here today, you're facing some attacks from the enemy? Yes, I see a number of hands across the enemy. I want you to know God can send holy thunder today to rebuke your enemy and to strengthen you and to bring you into victory. Our God is still a mighty God. Would you say amen? He's a mighty God. And so the story of their victory is unique, but it is powerful. The Lord brought about victory for a people who had just turned back to serve him with all of their hearts. I love, 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 love the mercy and grace of God. Don't you? I love that. And as a result of that story, a stone was set up by Samuel the prophet. It was a stone that served as a marker. Notice verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. Here it is. The battle has been won. And Samuel says, we need to remember. Everybody say this with me. We need to remember this. Say it out loud. We need to remember this. And said, here the Israelites had just turned back. They needed to remember our God is a merciful God. And our God is a mighty God. And the next time we find ourselves in trouble, we need to remember both of those truths. Our God is a merciful God and our God is a mighty God. So where are we going to turn? Not to Ghostbusters. We're going to turn to the Lord. He's the enemy buster. Could I have an amen? We're going to turn to the Lord. And Samuel said, we've got to remember this victory that was brought today. So he sets up a stone as a marker. It's a marker to remind them that it's a monument to remind them of God's victory that day. The stone was a marker and the stone was a monument to God's mercy. God has forgiven. God has shown mercy and favor. God has helped us when we didn't deserve it. Amen. God has been faithful to us when we've been unfaithful to him. God has come through for us. What a loving God he is. What a loving God he is. and he named the stone Ebenezer. That's what he called that stone, Ebenezer. Ebenezer means the stone of help. God's help has come. And Samuel set it up there. We've been helped by God. We've been helped by God. And the stone was a marker and a monument to that. And then Samuel closed the story with a statement and said, the Lord has helped in the past. Look at verse 12. He named the stone Ebenezer, saying, thus far, read that with me, thus far has the Lord helped us. Thus far has the Lord helped us. Up to this present point, the Lord has helped us. Ebenezer, he called the stone. The Lord has helped us in the past, up to this point. And the Lord has helped us in the present. Has helped, that's a present participle for those grammarians out there. That is a present participle. The Lord has helped us into the right now, and he's helping us right now. The Lord is our helper. Thus far has the Lord helped us. Helped us in the past, has helped us in the present. And I believe the indication of that is this. Our God, who never changes, our Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our Lord, who helped us in the past and who is helping us right now, is the same Lord who's going to continue his record of faithfulness in the days to come. I believe that. Do you believe that? I believe that. Our God is our help. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so our testimonies and trophies are from the Lord. The Lord's been our help. Everybody say, it's the Lord who has helped me. That's the point. Our testimonies, our trophies are from the Lord, and our trust for today and tomorrow is in the Lord. He will never fail us. Let's look at me, everybody. You walk with the Lord, he will never fail you. You may not understand, we may not understand everything we have to go through in this life, but one thing I can assure you, the Lord will never fail you. Listen, even when the Lord doesn't take the thorn away, he will say to you, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You can get through, you can make it, says the Lord. I can, and listen, the plan of God in his great love for us is not that every day in this life be an especially extraordinarily comfortable day. His plan is to get us through this veil of tears, this troubled life, into his presence in heaven someday, where all will be joy and gladness forever, eternal life. That's God's ultimate plan for us. He will bless us, he will provide for us, and ultimately, he will get us through to our desired, expected end. Could you say amen? Amen. And so we trust the Lord. I close in this morning with these five simple takeaways. Number one, if you want the Lord to be on your side in the battles and struggles of life, you've got to move over to his side. Do you get that? I've been around a long time in the ministry. I've seen a lot of people who wanted the Lord to be on their side, but they weren't willing to get on his side. Do you want the blessings of the Lord? Do you want the favor of the Lord? Do you want the help of the Lord in your life? Then get over onto his side. I heard somebody say a long time ago, I kind of like it. They said, stop asking God to bless what you're doing and start doing what God is blessing. There's a lot of truth to that. If you want God on your side, get over onto his side. He'll take you. Look at lesson number two. When you turn from your idols to serve the Lord, he will be merciful and receive you. So don't wait. Come on. If you're here today and you're struggling through things, but your heart has not been fully devoted to the Lord, your interests, your devotion, your affections have been divided. You want to serve the Lord, but you also want to serve the idols of this world. You're in love with the Lord somewhat, but you're also in love with some stuff in the world. If you need to lay down some idols to come into the fullness of your relationship with the Lord, go ahead and lay those things down and give your heart fully to the Lord. Could I have a better amen? Lay aside the idols and give your life fully to the Lord. You say, well, some of my idols have been around a long time. Listen, lay them aside and the Lord in his mercy will receive you. Come on, listen, don't wait. Don't wait until the enemy wins some powerful victory over you in your life. We have watched even in these last few weeks as the enemy of our souls, the devil, has won a variety of strategic victories against God's people and against God's ministry people. The devil sometimes wins the battle because God's people are not walking in full devotion to him. Are you here this morning? So you think the devil never wins a battle? Baloney. The devil wins lots of battles because people get their eyes off of Jesus. People get their hearts off of Jesus. People begin to do their own things and they lose the battle to the devil. And the devil wins great victories, not only in their life, but in the lives of others around them. So I say to you, before the devil wins some strategic victory in your life, get rid of your idols and turn yourself completely toward the Lord in wholehearted devotion. Ah, that's better preaching than your amening this morning. When you turn from your idols to serve the Lord, he will be merciful and receive you. So don't wait, come on. 3, our enemy may threaten, but when our God thunders, the enemy must retreat. So call confidently on the Lord. Are you in the middle of a struggle right now? Call on the Lord in faith. Say, God, do it however you choose to do it. And God, if you choose to thunder against the enemy, I'm ready. The Lord is a great God, and he has every imaginable method of victory at his disposal. Number 4, when the Lord brings deliverance, glory and praise belong to him. So resolve to remember and never forget. Never forget. Who's here in the house? The Lord has helped you through some things. Let me see your hand. Come on, come on. Is there anybody in the house who would testify today to say, I have been through some very difficult battles in my spiritual battles, but the Lord has brought me through those things? Is there anybody with a testimony? God has brought me through some pretty tough stuff. Don't ever forget it. Are you here? Don't ever forget it. If you had to have to set up a rock in your front yard, by the way, if you do, we've got some that are available in my yard we'd like to give to you. If you have to set up a big rock in your front yard to remind you to say every morning, look what the Lord has done. Go ahead and set up the rock. Samuel set up the rock, and he called it Ebenezer. This is a stone of help. This will remind us every time we pass by it. God has helped us. God has helped us. God has helped us. We would not be where we are today, but God has helped us. We would have fallen out a long time ago, but God has helped us. We were about to go under, but God has helped us. Remind yourself regularly, God has been my helper, and I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget. Listen, when I come into the worship service and I don't feel like singing, I'm going to look at the rock and say, God has been my helper. I'll never forget it. I owe him every praise, every song, every worship, every thanksgiving. I owe him my life. I'll never forget what the Lord has done for me. I will praise him. I will thank him. I will worship him. I will dance before him. I will shout the glory to his name. I will never forget what the Lord has done for me. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody here who's remembering something the Lord has brought you through ought to break into a little bit of thanksgiving right now in the house. Listen, this may be a formal church service this morning, but we're not too formal for somebody in the house to lift up a hand and say, thank you, Lord, right now in the middle of a service. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. Do you know the book of Revelation shows us that when we get to heaven someday, our song throughout eternity is going to be about the amazing grace of God that helped us get through and make it all the way home to heaven. And I guarantee you, in heaven, we will never forget why we're there. Huh? It's not because of anything I've done in myself. It's because of what God has done for me through Jesus Christ, his son. Hallelujah. When the Lord brings deliverance, glory and praise belong to him. So resolve to remember and never forget. And number five, the Lord who has helped us thus far leads us forward into the future. So trust him and don't give way to fear. If God is for you, who can be against you? Stay on the Lord's side. Are you here today? Stay on the Lord's side. I said, stay on the Lord's side. And as you stay on the Lord's side, the Lord will be on your side. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm about to get my preach this morning. If you'll stay on the Lord's side, the Lord will be on your side. As we trust the Lord, he will bring us through. In Jesus' name, amen.